Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. God calls the foolish and weak of the world to confound the wise and mighty. We are called to be David to the Goliaths and Sauls of this world. David, the youngest of Jesse's sons, was shepherd when he was anointed by Samuel to be king, as God had rejected Saul from being king. At that exact moment, God hadn't yet physically removed Saul from the throne or physically installed David upon the throne. But David was God's anointed as king of Israel, creating quite the conundrum because in the eyes of the people, Saul was king, but in the eyes of God, David was king. Initially, Jesse didn't even consider that David could be considered to be king because when Samuel came to Jesse, David was in the field tending to the sheep. Jesse thought surely one of his older sons would be the next king, but it was David who was chosen by God. God worked it out so David and Saul would meet. And when the Spirit of God left Saul, Saul became very bitter. His servants sought out a person to play the harp, and the person they found was David. Soon after that, Goliath challenged Israel to a duel, and the winner deciding the fate between Israel and the Philistines. Saul could have taken up the challenge, but didn't. Any member of the army could have taken up the challenge, but didn't. Any of David's three older brothers who followed Saul into battle could have fought Goliath, but they didn't. In the end, it was David, God's anointed, who would confound Goliath and even confounded Saul. At this time, David was still a youth, likely a teenager. Goliath had been a warrior for a long time, since his youth. Not only was Goliath large in size, but Goliath was also quite experienced. Saul didn't understand that David had single-handedly killed a lion and bear as a shepherd to protect his sheep. Saul only saw David as a youth in the person of somebody much smaller and much more inexperienced than Goliath. David convinced Saul to let him fight Goliath, and Goliath, who was suited up in military combat gear of the day, was insulted that of all the people Israel could have sent to fight him was a freckle-faced teenager who wasn't even dressed for combat. Goliath was ready to fight with a sword, and all that David had with him was a slingshot and a handful of smooth stones. In Goliath's mind, he would easily dispatch David, similar to how a professional sports team might dismiss the ability of a youth sports team to match them on the field. Then David did something unexpected. Instead of defending himself from what should have been a certain death, David ran to the battle and used his slingshot to deliver a stone to the forehead of Goliath, causing Goliath to fall. We don't know if Goliath fell already dead, or if Goliath was just unconscious. But seeing Goliath on the ground, David quickly ran to Goliath and used Goliath's own sword to sever the Philistine's head. With David victorious, the Philistines fled. 1 Samuel 17, verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Later, Saul would seek David's death, and pursued him in the wilderness of En-Gedi. When Saul was in a cave privately using it as a toilet, he didn't know David was hiding in that very cave. David snuck up on Saul and could have killed him, but used the opportunity to cut off some of Saul's robe. David then approached Saul when Saul was outside the cave, telling him that he meant Saul no harm. And seeing that David had a piece of his robe, Saul understood David could have easily killed him in the cave. 1 Samuel 24, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Saul was returning from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My lord the king. And when Saul looked after him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me to kill thee, but mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou, and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. David confounded Goliath and Saul, and today we are called to confound the wise and the mighty. Just like David was not impressed with Goliath because of his physical size and military prowess, or rejected his anointing as king because Saul was still king, today we are to also confound the wise and mighty. David, who was a man after God's own heart, was a man who sinned, but was also a man who understood that it would be through God's blessing that Goliath would be defeated and that he would ascend to the throne. Thousands of years later, Paul would write that the wisdom of this world did not know the wisdom of God, and added that the wisdom of the wise would be destroyed, while the understanding of the prudent would be brought to nothing. Paul added that God chose the foolish to confound the mighty and wise, so that all glory would go to God and not to any person. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. For God sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? 4. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye, seeing your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Think about who the mighty and wise are today. We think of political leaders and leaders of industry. We think of those who develop solutions to problems nobody else has yet identified. Just like David didn't seek the overthrow of Saul, in confounding the political mighty today, we do not seek the overthrow of any government or person in power. When leaders of industry come up with the next best thing to power the world in which we live, we seek first the kingdom of God, a kingdom not of this world, and God's righteousness. When the brilliantly intelligent come up with remarkable solutions to the challenges of our time, we understand that virtually all of our challenges come from this world's rejection of God. Even spiritually, we align our beliefs not to the interpretation of any person, but what is presented in the Bible. Our faith does not come from what any man does, and only comes through the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When faith and the wisdom of man are joined together, we see results that are not purely based on faith. For instance, there is something called the Seven Mountains Movement, which is taken from a verse in Revelation 17, which we have probably all read. In this particular verse, we see that a woman that was carried by a beast sits on seven mountains. Revelation 17, verse 7. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Those who are followers of the Seven Mountain Movement understand that the woman of Revelation 17, verse 9, is the same woman, the whore, of verse 1 of the same chapter. They do not see themselves as the woman of verse 1, but as challengers to the whore that sits on many waters, as people who will confound the whore. Revelation 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The Seven Mountains Movement has concluded that the seven mountains of Revelation 17, verse 9, are seven areas of modern society and include religion, family, education, government, media, arts and entertainment, and business. Those who follow the Seven Mountain Movement, and some think of it as a mandate, that they must retake each of these seven areas and Christianize them. I wish peace and love to all who follow the Seven Mountain Movement, and when I read of the seven mountains in Revelation 17, verse 9, I do not see a listing of the seven areas of society claimed by the movement that require action today. The whore is described as drunk on the blood of the saints, meaning by this time the forces of evil have decimated the faithful. I do see words of Jesus who, in defending his ministry on earth before Pilate, clearly stated that his kingdom was not of this world, and that is why his servants would not fight to keep Jesus from the Jews. John 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered him, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Jesus taught his kingdom. The kingdom of God was not of this world, and that should be enough to clue us in that the kingdom of God, which we seek first, is not a kingdom of this world. When we also seek first the righteousness of God, it is a righteousness that through faith, as the foolish of the world, we must develop. When David was anointed king and while Saul was still on the throne, David did not seek to seize the crown or throne from Saul, and similarly today, it is not our place to seize society to establish the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will be established at the return of Jesus Christ, and that will be a time of God's choosing, not the choice of any man. We who are called are not called to be incredibly wise with the wisdom of this world, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of this world has rejected God. Why would we who are called and led by the Holy Spirit align ourselves with a wisdom which rejects God? What is seen as wise by this world is foolishness to God. When this world sees its wisdom as its strength, God uses that perceived wisdom to confound the world. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. The wisdom that we need to have is not a wisdom found in the intellect and knowledge of mankind, but comes from having a reverential awe of God, what the King James Bible calls a fear of God. Seeing ourselves as very small compared to God, who is greater than we could ever imagine, is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 6. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It is not the middle or end of wisdom. And that shows us that as we are led by the Holy Spirit, we grow in wisdom. The wisdom that results from having that reverential awe of God, and not the wisdom of this world. Because if we do what seems right as a person, that leads to death. Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The wisdom of man is nothing compared to the power of God. But when a person is considered to be wise by God or Jesus Christ, that is something for us to think about. For instance, Jesus taught that not everyone who acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior would be part of the kingdom of heaven. In addition to recognizing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, one also must do what Jesus taught. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Jesus knew that even the demons believe that God our Father and Jesus Christ exist, and James wrote they tremble because they know they do not obey. Somehow, mankind believes what Jesus teaches can be disregarded without consequence. To know of Jesus Christ, to know what Jesus taught, and to disregard what was taught takes deliberate thought and action. And many times when a person has deliberate thought and action, They attribute that to some type of wisdom or intelligence on their part. People who disregard what Jesus and our Father teach are not of Jesus and our Father. John 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I am proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Paul warned the Colossians that philosophy and vain deceit can move us from the faith, especially when these are patterned after the traditions of men and what is known of this world. Instead of seeking the wisdom of this world for approval of faith, we simply need to have faith, knowing that the power of God is greater than anything we see on earth. Colossians 2, verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted up and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. This world is physical and evidence-based, which contrasts to faith. When we are told that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, we should be clued in that faith is substantially different than science. For those whom we meet who ask, we prove the existence of God, proving the existence of God is contrary to faith. Let those who demand we prove the existence of God through scientific means prove to their content that God doesn't exist in the spiritual realm. There is a difference between science and faith. We need to be careful of people who claim exclusive access to God and Jesus Christ, as if the only way we gain access to them is through these bogus people. Paul explained to the Thessalonians that before Jesus Christ returns, there will first come a falling away when a man of sin is revealed. This person opposes God, thinks highly of himself as being better than any and all things a person may ascribe to God, and acts almost as if he is God. Many will believe the lie of this person because many live by science and not by faith. When we live by faith, holding the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, many others hold the evidence of things they can observe to verify what they believe. With physical things, we all do that. When I get into my car to drive somewhere, it's because I see it. If it's very dark, I will through touch observe that my car is there. Not once have I tried to get into my car when it wasn't there. But these people do it with faith. And their thought is not that God and Jesus Christ exist. It's more along the lines of because the son of perdition is so wonderful in their eyes that God and Jesus Christ must exist. For us, we have faith without evidence, and for so many, they must have something tangible to believe, meaning they have no faith. God will send a strong delusion to these people so that they believe the lie. And the lie tries to put a positive spin on unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that he be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. When this world has pleasure in unrighteousness, it leads itself astray. Instead of worshiping the Creator who cannot be seen, they worship the creation which they can see, and then because of what they see, they then believe God exists. But they tend to see God as an extension of nature, being in the form of something they can see or observe. Because they worship the creation as if it is our Creator, they unknowingly change the truth of God into a lie. And that deception comes with all forms of human practices that are less than the divine nature of God. This is when the good of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is abandoned, and seemingly only the evil remains. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We have to remember that not everyone that claims to be of God is of God. And we need to focus on Jesus Christ, that he came in the flesh, that he died once for the sins of all, that we might have eternal life with repentance upon his return. Anyone who seeks to diminish the role of Jesus Christ in our salvation is suspect. With worries of the Antichrist, really all we need to remember is that we must protect against the spirit of Antichrist, which denies Jesus Christ. And knowing this, we must remember that we will not always see things eye to eye with other people. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. While we do not seek the wisdom of this world which is influenced by the spirit of Antichrist, we do seek the wisdom that comes from God, and this wisdom comes through the Holy Spirit as we do what is expected of us and as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit being led by it. And instead of resulting in evil, it leads to righteousness. James 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and living in a world that has rejected God, means we live in a world opposed to what we value. Paul encouraged the Colossians to walk in wisdom to those who were without. We do not walk in the wisdom of this world, but we walk in the wisdom that comes from God that leads to righteousness. And when we interact with this world that is opposed to God, we season what we say with grace. And that means instead of attacking people all the time for their sin, we are conciliatory without abandoning what is sin, and speak of the hope of eternal life. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. As Christians, we walk as children of light. That means we live our life aligned to what is taught in the Bible, whether we are doing something just for ourselves or when we are interacting with others. We deliberately seek to live our life in such a way it reflects the wisdom not of this world, but the wisdom that comes from above that leads to righteousness. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then thou ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can take comfort in the words of Paul to the Romans, who shared that the wisdom and knowledge of God is incredibly deep and rich and seemingly beyond our grasp to understand as people, even people with the Holy Spirit. He asked, Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has advised him? The wisdom of man is nothing compared to the wisdom of God, and the power of God is contained within the wisdom of God. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. David confounded Goliath and Saul, and each of us today confound the mighty and wise of this world. By relying on the wisdom of God and his power, the wisdom and might of this world will not compare to the wisdom and might that belongs to God. The wisdom of God is deeper and richer than anything we know, and that wisdom which comes from heaven leads us to righteousness as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.